We don't want them to get to that point. Amen. And so we want to encourage them that way. And, you know, the feelings they feel, they're real. And sometimes we might look at them and say, well, you know, it doesn't make sense or whatever. It doesn't mean that it's not something that they're really dealing with. And so we're doing our best to help them. So thank you for your prayers and the opportunity to share that with you. And we appreciate your prayers for us. And when you do pray, and you pray for your missionary families, I encourage folks, don't just pray generically. You know, well, dear God, please bless the Myers. And find out who the Myers wife is. Amen. Find out who the Myers kids are. And I'm just pulling a name out of the hat. I don't particularly know somebody off the top of my head here. But read those prayer letters and find out those kids' names and pray for them specifically. Pray that God will keep his hedge about them physically and spiritually from snares and attacks of the devil. Because the devil's real. Amen. And he is a deceiver, and he's hard at work. And he's doing all he can to hinder the gospel of Christ. And so we appreciate your prayers for us, and just want to encourage you to keep praying for your missionaries as well. And thank you, church, for all you do to help All Points families. We appreciate that. And we just say that on their behalf. All right. If you have any other questions, if you'll see me after church, I will be glad to try to answer those for you or muddy the water anymore if I can. So I think we're ready to go ahead and sing special. Do I need to sing into this or something else, or just a lapel? Can I push this to the side? I feel like it's like... That's better. All right.
The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire, and some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing, and laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul.
Thank you. Aren't you glad that God is in the business of reaching souls? Amen. Romans chapter number 1, please, if you have your Bible with you. Romans chapter number 1. You'll find our text beginning tonight in verse number 1. I'd like to ask you, if you're able, if you would stand with me, please, just out of respect to the reading of the text of the Lord's Word this evening. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for the grace and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ? Amen. Verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I'd like to take your attention back to verse number 8. And the last half of that verse says this. It says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and then we'll be seated after that. Father in heaven, you are a wonderful God, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for grace. Lord, you've been merciful to me today, and I thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your Son, who died on the cross of Calvary in our place and shed his blood, was buried and rose again so we could have eternal life through him. And that forgiveness of sin and cleansing. God, thank you for that, and thank you for the blood that cleanses all sin. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight or listening to the message that is not saved, I pray tonight they would see the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would trust Christ as their Savior, be born again. And thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I pray you would speak to all our hearts. God, I pray you would challenge us through your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would do what only he can. And take the word of God and apply it to our hearts and lives where we need it. Help us to have attentive hearts and minds to your voice. Please let nothing hinder us from listening to you. God, I ask you would help me. Lord, just give me clarity of thought and speech and your power to give what I believe you put on my heart for this evening. Lord, do forgive my sin and cleanse me and help me to be all you want me to be. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Romans chapter number 1, this passage of Scripture is a wonderful passage of Scripture and very many good things in it. But I was reading this text, just doing some reading, some studying a couple of months ago, and God caught my attention with verse number 8. And I was looking at that, and I know I've read it before, but it was one of those situations where it's like, man, I don't remember ever paying attention to that before. I don't remember ever seeing that like that before. And the Holy Spirit of God caught my attention about that, and that how the church at Rome, the Bible said that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. I thought, man, what a compliment that God gave to the church and to the saints at Rome to have that to be said about them, that people knew of their faith in Christ, people knew of their walk in Christ all around the known world. Isn't that something? What a testimony to have for Christ. And the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, he writes and he says this to these saints, these Christians at Rome. He said, your faith is spoken of. Now we know, if you're students of the Bible and Bible history, that Rome during this time was not the center of friendliness for Christian people. Amen? It is not that. I mean, this is the place where they're taking them to the Colosseum and they are martyring Christians for the name of Christ. Anything that could be perceived as against Caesar or against Rome, they got rid of it. They ruled by force. They ruled by power. And so it wasn't an easy thing to have an outward testimony for Christ. It was not an easy thing to be living for Christ in this day and age in Rome or in many places across the world. There was a lot of persecution. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul and his testimony that is given in 2 Corinthians. And he talks about how he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all these things that happened to him for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the work of the ministry. And man, every time I read that or every time I think about it or speak about it, I'm challenged and I'm convicted and I think, would I stay true? If all that happened to me, would I stay faithful to Christ? I hope I would. I can't say for a definite, I know I would. I cannot say that there wouldn't be a time that I'm going back to the house. You know, it's safer there. And but yet the Apostle Paul, by the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, he stayed true to the task that God called him to. He stayed true to his faith. He stayed true to Christ. and carried on the gospel. And we still benefit today from what God did in and through the life of the Apostle Paul. What a wonderful testimony. And these Christians had that testimony that they served Christ. And their faith is a challenge. Amen. It was a challenge to Christians then. It's still a challenge through the Word of God to Christians today to have faith like that. And to have God to be pleased with you in such a way that He uses your faith to reach out to other people. And I think about missions, and I think about the missions work through the local church and ministry work through the local church, and how that our testimony and the testimony of Mountain City Baptist Church can be broadcast throughout the world through your work in support of worldwide gospel missions. Amen. And the testimony that God is using through missionaries that you support in Alaska and Europe and Asia and South America and all over the world. Part of the reason those missionaries are there is because you're back here praying for them and encouraging them and supporting them and doing what you can to help them do what God's called them to do. And I know this from being on, I've been on both sides of it. I've been an assistant pastor, a pastor, and now I'm in the missions work. And it was a change of pace for me and a change of atmosphere for me, I guess is the right way to say it, going from being on the pastoral side to being on the missionary side of things. And doing that, but I can say this. I try to pray for the churches that have supported us, amen, in places that I have been, that those folks, God has used them to be an encouragement to us and an impact to me and my family. I want to return thanks to God for them. I thank God for you all and allowing us to be here and share what God's given us to do. And I just want to tell you this. I have no doubt that I am not the exception to that. I have no doubt missionaries you've got on your wall back there call your name in prayer. Call your pastor and his family's name in prayer and pray that God will continue to bless you and help you. And it's a cooperative effort. Amen. And it's all of us working together underneath the leadership of God and underneath the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying by inspiration of God here. He's encouraging these saints at Rome to keep up the good work and to keep on serving Christ and to keep up their testimony. And he's just reminding them that God is using their faith. Man, what a compliment, what a challenge, what a conviction. So how does God do this through us? I think, honestly, we can find the basic outline for it in verse number 1. In verse number 1, here's what is written. The Lord gives the Apostle Paul this truth to share some of his testimony. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. First of all, if we're going to have a faith that is spoken of, that's going to have an impact in Mountain City and around this area, if I'm going to have a faith that God can use, it's going to have an impact in the places that He sends me to go and my family to go. If we're going to have a faith then that's going to stretch beyond that and it's going to have influence not only in Mountain City or where I live in Crossville, but around the world, number one, I have to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I cannot be a servant to myself. I cannot be a servant to this world. I cannot be a servant to my flesh. I must be, first and foremost, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be of primary importance and of preeminence in my life. He has to be my authority for every day. Amen? I cannot be what God wants me to be. As a Christian, not just as a preacher or as someone working in missions, I cannot be as a child of God what God wants me to be until I put Christ first in my life. That is what Colossians 1 says, right? That in all things He might have the preeminence. Philippians chapter 2 reminds us of who Jesus is, and it tells us that one of these days every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the truth of the matter is this, it's not that one day He will be Lord. Amen? He is Lord today. He was Lord, He is, and He will be. And you and I, as Christians, we need to recognize that now and go ahead and yield our hearts and our lives to Him and say, okay, You are Lord. I yield myself to You. You are the authority in my life. That's what Jesus told the disciples when He gave the Great Commission right before He ascended back to heaven in Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples in Galilee, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's just reassuring to them his deity. His position is God the Son. Amen? And he is reaffirming in them his authority and his power to do the work that he's called them to do. So he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then you know the rest. And so, number one, who are you a servant to? The Apostle Paul, he was a servant to Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that these saints in Rome, to have a faith that was spoken of, they had to be servants of Jesus first and foremost, not servants to Caesar, not servants to society. Boy, isn't it easy? There's a lot of pressure in society to sort of smooth things over with some things that are scriptural, you know, because we don't want to offend people, right? There's some pressure there. Don't get mad at me, man. Some of you are looking at me like, what's this guy saying? Don't get mad at me. I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying there's pressure there to do that. We have a politically correct society. Amen? And, boy, people are offended over everything nowadays. It's crazy. And really, it doesn't make any sense to me. But that being said, we need to stay true to the Word of God. Amen? And stay true to the gospel of Christ and the cause of Christ and what is right. And so am I a servant to Jesus Christ? Do I dedicate each day to Him? Do I get up in the morning and do I say, before I take off for the day, Lord, help me to listen to You today. God, help me to do the things You want me to do. Help me to do the things that are pleasing to You today. I understand that life is busy and there's a lot of things going on and it's easy to get busy. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll ask God to bless our busy instead of asking God to order what we're doing. Amen. And we need to ask the Lord, say, Lord, and there might be things that you can't get around. I understand that. I mean, we have work and school and responsibilities, and God expects us to take care of those things. Amen. But as we do that, we need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today to be pleasing to you? Is there somebody you want me to talk to about your Son, about your gospel? Lord, is there something I need to do today that you want me to do? Lord, I just want to dedicate today to you. And Lord, in everything I do, when I go to work, or young people, when you go to school, or when you do whatever, just dedicate that day to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to please you all day long. Amen? Because I want you to be the priority in my life. So you dedicate your day to Christ. Are you a servant to Him? Do you serve Him everywhere you go? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we're bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What's that? It's in our actions. Amen. And in our spirit. That's our attitude. That's our approach to things. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's the price? It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been bought. We've been purchased. Who I was before I got saved, I'm no longer that. Amen. I was a servant to myself before I got saved. I was under the bondage of my sin nature. I was under the bondage that the devil has out in this world. And I was submitted to all of that. But when I got saved, I became a new creature inside the Lord Jesus Christ. I became a child of God, part of God's family. So I'm not who I was anymore. Amen. I have a new identity. Praise God for that. Amen. But I need to live like I have a new identity. Amen. I shouldn't have it tucked away somewhere. But I should testify the fact that I am a born-again child of God. It ought to show up on me. Amen. I can remember pastoring and showing up at a funeral home for the funeral, and the funeral director walked in and he said, you must be the preacher for the funeral. I said, yes, sir, I am. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, there's something about me that looks like that I'm involved with Christ. Amen. And it'd be a problem if he walked in and the guy said, oh, you're the preacher? Hey, yo. Okie doke, you know, and so praise the Lord for that. But that's the way it should be with all of us, amen. That ought to be a testimony about us. It shouldn't be a secret. And so, do we serve Him everywhere we go, or do we serve self or the things of this world? So, number one, who am I a servant to, or what am I a servant to? And then it says this at the end of verse one. We'll come back to the middle of verse one in a minute. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Number two, what am I separated unto? And when I say separated, I mean this. not only separated from things, we've already touched on the fact that we ought to live and look and act like Christians, amen, as children of God. There ought to be a difference between us and people that are unsaved and how they live in this world. And so, but separation not only involves a coming apart from worldliness or ungodliness, but it also involves being separated to God and separated to Christ. And this passage of Scripture talks about being separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to have a faith that is spoken of, a faith that God can use, a faith that is effective in my community, a faith that is effective with my family, I have to be separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ and unto the work of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not called to preach, or maybe I'm a lady in here. If you're a lady, you're not called to pastor. Amen. Okay, we're still... Okay, good. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. But it's true, but ladies can serve the Lord just like men can. But in everything, in all these things, what am I dedicating my time, my effort to? Am I dedicated to the point of promoting the gospel of Christ with my life? Amen. Here's what I mean by that. Is it on the forefront of my mind on Tuesday? Not just on Sunday. I know it comes up in our minds on Sunday. We hear the preaching, we see the gospel tracts, the missionary testimonies, the different things, and the preacher preaches about it. And so God brings it back to our minds at times through church services. But what about on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday? Do I think about the fact that the people that I work with, that's an eternal soul.
Right.
And that one of these days, they're going somewhere when they die.
Right.
If they die without Jesus Christ, their destination is hell. That's where they'll wind up, separated from God forever. And God's given me the good news. Amen. I'm saved. I'm a born-again child of God. And I know the gospel. I have the opportunity to walk by the tracks in the back and pick up some and take them with me and share them with people. So do I keep it on my mind as I go out in my community throughout the week, or as I am around my family and I know that cousin of mine is lost? Am I going to take a minute and try to talk to him? Am I going to try to get a gospel track in his hand? Am I going to talk to my aunt or uncle? Am I going to talk to my co-worker? Am I going to try to at least get a track in her hand and ask them to read it and invite them to come to church? You say, well, preacher, I don't know how to explain all of that. Man, that is the wonderful thing about a gospel track. You don't have to explain it all. Just get them to read it and it'll explain itself. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God will take it and use it, and he'll do what you and I can't do anyway. Amen. And bring conviction on their life. And so am I separated unto the gospel? What do I spend my time and my energy to promote? You know, I've learned this in life. We generally talk about the things that are important to us. Amen? We talk about the things that are important to us. I used to love football. Now, you can tell by my build that I am a football player. Amen? Not. I used to love to play in high school, and I was smaller then than I am now, and I got beat up every time I played, just about. And I decided at one point, I played a game of pickup football in college with a bunch of other guys in college. And I got hit in the side of the head with a knee, and it just about gave me a concussion, blurred my vision, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, this is stupid. I shouldn't be doing this. God's called me to do something else with my life besides play football and lose my mind out here. So I'm done. That's the last time I played like that. But truth of the matter is, I loved it, and it wasn't a problem for me to talk about football. I grew up in Indiana, and I grew up an hour outside of Indianapolis. And so growing up as a kid, man, I was a big-time Indianapolis Colts fan. We'd come home from church, and we'd watch it on Sunday. And if they started early, you know, we'd try to catch whatever we could on the radio on the way home. My dad was a big-time football fan, and we just loved it growing up. And I always wanted to be big enough to play, and I tried. It just didn't work. As a kid growing up, it didn't take much to get me to talk about football. Even as a young adult, man, during the Peyton Manning era, it didn't get me much to talk about football and the Colts. And why? Because I liked it. I enjoyed it. I made it not the number one priority in my life, but I made it a priority in my life. And, you know, I was excited when they win and discouraged when they lost. And people knew that about me. People in church knew that about me. People, my neighbors knew that about me. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if they knew all kinds of things about us, that we love cars, that we love sports, we love this and we love that, but they don't really know how much about our testimony that they ought to know? It'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? And so we ought to be separated unto the gospel. If we're going to have a faith that's spoken of, we ought to be working, giving our time and effort to promote the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Man, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of God, he said, "I serve with my spirit. I serve from my heart." What kept Paul going? Because he loved God. Amen. And he said, "I've been given a calling of God on my life. And I serve God because of that calling, because I love God, and because I know that Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me. And I want to share the love of Christ with others. And I want God to do in somebody else's life what God has done in my life." And he said, "It drives me, and I serve God with my spirit from my heart, trying to reach others with the gospel." And can I tell you, that's the kind of faith that God wants in every one of us. What a challenge. It's convicting to me to think about that. Do I serve with my spirit in the gospel? Do I pray that God will send more laborers? Jesus said in Matthew 9:38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Do I pray for that? I got convicted about that here a while back. I was reading that passage. I've preached on that passage. And I got convicted about that. I thought, my goodness. I mean, I'm trying to serve the Lord and do some things. I'm trying to do what God's called me to do. But I don't very often pray that God will send forth more laborers than I ought to. Pretty straightforward right there in the scripture. I just, one of those passages, you know it so well, you just kind of read past it. Here's a great truth. We need to pray that God will send forth laborers. But when I do that, then I need to pray this: God, use me. Amen. I don't need to pray for God to use everybody else and then refuse to let God use me. Amen. So we need to pray, God, use me. Send me where you want me to go. I'm going to read a verse of scripture to you quickly. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. Isaiah chapter 6. Very familiar verse of scripture. Also, verse number 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." As we hear the voice of God and we see the need of people around us, we ought to say, "Dear Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. And Lord, when you're sending people, Lord, send me. Help me to be a witness for you. Help me to reach people with the gospel. Help me to do what I can do. Whether it's right here or whether it's somewhere else, God, use me." You say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that." I want to share with you something my pastor shared with me years ago, and it wasn't just with me. I heard him preaching, and as a teenager, I heard him say this. He was preaching about just giving your life to Christ, just whatever God will want you to do as a Christian. Will you be willing to dedicate your life to do whatever God wants you to do? And I can remember having that internal struggle, that fear, you know, I don't know if I can do that, and what if God calls me to be a missionary? What if God calls me to be a pastor? You know, and as a kid, I was shy. I didn't like being up in front of people and speaking and those kind of things. And so I remember having some of those struggles and then just struggles with my flesh. And my pastor said this, and God got my attention, and God changed my heart. He said, "Maybe you're here tonight and you want to serve God, but you're having a struggle with it." And it was almost like he was reading my face and I just didn't know it. But it was almost like he was reading my heart and what was going on. And he said, "I can understand that. And there is times that our flesh struggles with that." So he said, "Why don't you do this? If you have a desire to be pleasing to God and you have a desire to serve God, but you don't know if you can do all that God wants you to do," he said, "why don't you just pray this prayer to God tonight? God, I'm willing for you to make me willing to do what I need to do." Isn't that something? What a great thought. And man, that changed my life. And God's used that to help me more than once in my life. "Lord, I know you're dealing with me about something, and I don't know if I'm ready to take the whole big step I need to take. But Lord, if you'll help me get here, then I'll try to get from there to where I need to be. And Lord, just help me keep making the steps I need to make. But Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing to take me to where you want me to be." And boy, what a great truth. And if we can just put it in God's hand and let God take care of it and let God worry about it, it's amazing what God will do with our lives if we'll just put ourselves in His hand and allow Him to lead us and guide us and to help us. So do I pray that God will send forth more laborers? Do I pray that God will use me? That was Paul's prayer, that God would use him. He said in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then finally tonight, in verse number 1 again, it says this, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Third thing is this, if I'm going to have a faith that's spoken of, I've got to be a servant to Jesus Christ. I've got to be a servant to others. I've got to be separated away from the world and worldliness and ungodliness and to Christ and to the gospel. And then number 3, I've got to be fulfilling the specific purpose God has for me, the calling. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said, called to be an apostle. Over and over again in the Pauline epistles, God allows the Apostle Paul to give a portion of his testimony. And almost always there is something that is said similar to what's said here in Romans chapter 1. Paul, called to be. Paul, a servant of Christ. Paul, this. But he's always bringing it back to, this is what God has put on my life for me to do. So I want to ask all of us this, what's your calling? You say, well, I'm a steel worker. I would do this or I do that. That's fantastic, and if you do that, I hope you're there because that's where God wants you to be. I said it earlier tonight, God has Christians in all walks of life, and God is trying to use them in all places around this world to reach people with the gospel. Not everybody can be a missionary or a pastor or a preacher or a preacher's wife, but God has a calling for you wherever you're at, and you ought to say, Lord, help me to be the best Christian I can be for you right where you want me to be. God, help me to serve in the church where you want me to serve. God, help me to do the things you want me to do. God, help me to be the best employee for you when I go to work tomorrow that I can be as a testimony for Jesus Christ. God, help me to do that. He had a calling, a specific place, a ministry to serve God. You and I have that calling. Amen. So let me ask you this, and we're done. Is God calling you to do something tonight? Maybe it's to give a little bit more. Maybe it's to do something more right here in your local church. Maybe it is to take another step of faith, and you've been like, man, I don't know. Why don't you just do what my pastor said to do? Why don't you just say, Lord, I'm willing for you to help me. So, Lord, please help me. And I'll just take it one step at a time. And, you know, the Lord's gracious and merciful, and God will honor that. He won't look at you and say, no, it's silly. Either you take the whole big step or don't go at all. God won't do that. God will say, come on. What did Jesus say to Peter? They saw the Lord walking on water, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, I wonder, I don't need to get sidetracked on that. We'll discuss it later. But Jesus, what did Jesus say to him? Come on. One step at a time, Peter. Come on out to where I'm at. You know, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true. I don't think it was unique to Peter. I think if John or Bartholomew or Thomas had said, Lord, can I walk to you on the water too? He just said, come on. Take a step toward me, I'll keep stepping toward you. We'll meet each other in the middle. Wouldn't that have been an awesome thing? And so that's how God is with us today. He won't look down on you because you say, Lord, I'm willing to take a step toward you. God, I'm willing. Are you willing to do what God's called you to do? Do you have a faith? Do I have a faith that is worthy to be spoken of? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Each head bowed and every eye closed as we get ready to have a verse of an invitation psalm tonight. I wonder if there's someone here that'd say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. If I was to die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. We want to encourage you to come down to the front. I'm sure somebody will take a Bible, answer your question, help you to know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and heaven's your home. Don't leave here tonight without Christ. Maybe if there's something else God's dealt with your heart about, if you need to do business with the Lord, we just want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm just going to turn the rest of the service back over to Pastor. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for challenging me. I pray you just help us to obey and respond to you as you'd have us to. strengthen our faith. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor.
I appreciate that good message. Is your faith the faith that it will be spoken of? What a challenge. What a challenge. We learned this morning about the way. God knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Christians in the early century church, before they were called Christians at Antioch, they were referred to as just those that they had that way, just a difference about them. Their faith was spoken of by the way that they lived their life. How are you living your life? Is your faith spoken of? There's a power in your testimony. There's a power in your testimony. Your life will make the words you say in the gospel all the more effective in reaching the world for Christ. People are praying. The altar is still open. Together. Thank you. Thank you for that good message. I tell you, Monday's coming. And how are we going to act tomorrow? Is our faith going to be spoken up? Boy, what a convicting thought. That's good. I've never really, that you just brought that out really well, and I appreciate you being used to the Lord tonight. That was helpful to me, and I know it was helpful to you all. And you be sure to go.